live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you virtually from the Business Radio X studio. No, not the one in Renaissance Bank that we're normally in, but we're looking forward to our return here sometime soon. In the meantime, if you need help with your small business and you need a more personal experience with your banking services, or maybe you just got the low bar of wanting somebody that'll actually answer the phone. Well, they've got some folks at Renaissance Bank that will actually do that. Imagine that. And I know this firsthand because I've got clients with them and I've worked with them, and they're awesome people. And they've done an awesome job with a lot of the small business loans that are out there, the PPP loans and whatnot, and serving the market. They've got 190 offices across the Southeast with great folks ready to serve you. So check them out, RenaissanceBank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I welcome a repeat guest, and he's a repeat guest because he's really smart and he's fun to talk to, Brad Taylor. And Brad is the CMO and founder of Taylor Built Brands. Brad, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's great to be back.
Yeah.
Belated happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there. Happy Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for those that don't know you, give folks a little overview of who you are and how you serve folks out there.
Yes, I'll share my little elevator pitch here. So again, my name is Brad Taylor, and I'm a 35-year marketing and sales veteran, having worked for the advertising agency industry. That's really where I cut my teeth. And I spent several years working in marketing for Pizza Hut. So learned a lot about brand strategy and marketing strategy there. And then I had the honor of working for the Coca-Cola company for 24 years in various sales and marketing leadership roles. And as you might imagine, learned a thing or two about marketing and sales strategy at the Coca-Cola company, and recently retired from the Coca-Cola company, but not ready to fully retire. So I thought, well, maybe I can put all that stuff I learned over the years to work for other small companies and businesses looking to maybe polish their brand or build their business. So that's why I do what I do now from a consulting perspective with Taylor Built Brands. And then I'm also really passionate about teaching. And so I have the opportunity and very honored to have the opportunity to teach branding and marketing classes at both Kennesaw State University and Emory University.
Oh, wow. Now, Brad, you talked about you retired from Coke. You weren't ready to, I guess, jump off the train and stop, go to a full stop, right? So, you know, beyond that reason, though, why did you start Taylor Built Brands? I mean, what, how are you trying to help?
Just thinking about, okay, yeah, I'm not ready to fully retire. And while I do enjoy playing a little bit more golf, it's not something I want to do every day. So it's like, I've got to find some, useful purpose out there. And I thought, well, you know, I did learn a thing or two about marketing and selling strategies and building business. And I thought, you know, hey, how can I put that to work for other businesses? And so that's why I thought about, well, you know, where would be the right area of expertise for me? And I thought, you know, working for the biggest brand in the world, the Coca-Cola company, all the brands that they represent, I thought, you know, branding is something that I learned a lot about, have a true passion for, and really understand the importance of starting with a brand strategy before you jump into any type of marketing activity. So I thought, hey, that's what I'm really passionate about. I know a thing or two about it. So that's why I thought, let's start a brand consulting business. And that's what Taylor Built Brands is. It's really about helping small to mid-sized businesses polish their brand And what I mean by that is really understand what is going to be your winning brand strategy, and then put that brand strategy to work with the right mix of marketing activity that's going to help deliver the desired business results. So that's kind of why I got into it, and it's worked out well, and I've really enjoyed it thus far. And I feel like I am delivering value, and it kind of keeps me sharp and occupied, and something I really enjoy.
Brad, this is a statement that's really a question. I mean, I get the feeling that branding is one of those things that a lot of people think they know what it is, but maybe they really don't. So,
You know, there's a lot of different opinions on what branding is, and it's not that they're all right or they're all wrong. It's kind of a mix of things. So some people think branding is just, you know, your logo or the colors that you use or your slogan. And yes, that is certainly an aspect of branding. But really where I'd like to start is understanding, you know, what is your promise that you're making to your consumers, and which subset of consumers are going to be most motivated by that promise. Mm. And that helps you identify where you can actually win in the marketplace, because at the end of the day, it's a crowded marketplace, right? Mm. And you know, sometimes brands, they make the fatal mistake of trying to be all things to all people. And I haven't found a brand yet that can do that. Even the Coca-Cola brand can't be all things to all people. So I think it's really important to kind of peel back the layers of the onion and really understand, you know, based on what your product or brand delivers, you know, who is that core consumer that's going to be most motivated by that? Mm. And really, what makes that consumer tick? Really understand that consumer. And then you start looking at, well, what are the competitive alternatives to what I'm delivering? And how can I position my brand so that it stands out in that crowded marketplace? And that consumers can see that, you know, this brand is different, better, and more special than the alternatives. And I want to do business with this brand. So it is about understanding what your promise is, who your core consumer target is, not trying to be all things to all people, and then taking into consideration the marketing environment and the competition that's out there so that you can really articulate, you know, put on paper, this is my winning brand strategy, which should really be the starting point for any marketing activity. So a lot of people tend to confuse marketing and branding. And I like to believe that brand strategy is the first place you have to start before you start thinking about any marketing activity. And marketing activity can be everything from product to price to place to promotion, right? But you got to start with, you know, what's the brand really all about and who is going to be most motivated by that brand's promise?
Brad, how does brand positioning fit into what you're talking about?
Yeah, so that's really, brand positioning is the articulation, if you will, of that brand strategy, right? And so brand positioning, and there's a nice, easy to follow template, if you will, on creating a brand positioning statement. And it kind of starts with, you know, to which very specific consumer target group are we trying to appeal to? Then we like to articulate what is our product, brand, or service? And then where are we trying to compete? So, you know, again, narrowly defining the environment where we want to compete and win. So articulating that. Then there's a section about, so what is the benefit that we're delivering to consumers? And I like to think it's really important to have both a functional or rational benefit, which is a lot about what your product, brand, or service actually does or delivers, But then I also like to marry that with an emotional benefit. And then how does our brand make consumers feel, right? And then you kind of wrap that up with what are the reasons to believe that we can deliver that brand promise and those functional and emotional benefits. So it's a nice, tidy package, if you will, that comes in the form of a statement. And it takes a bit of work to put that all together. It's not something you just sit down and write because you've got to do a little bit of research and really understand a lot about your brand and a lot about your consumers and a lot about your competition. So there's work involved in creating it. But once you've articulated that brand positioning statement, then you've got, I like to think of it as a Bible that you should be sharing with all of your constituents and making sure everyone is on the same page that this is really what our brand is all about. This is who we're trying to appeal to. This is the promise we're making. These are the benefits, and these are all the reasons to believe. And if you get that articulated and share it with all your constituents, it's much easier to consistently deliver that brand promise than if you've never had that positioning statement to begin with.
Mm. Makes sense. Brad Taylor, folks, he's joined us here from Taylor Built Brands, and he's the founder, CMO there. And, Brad, you've got your own, like all of us do, you've got your own target customer for Taylor Built Brands. Why don't you tell us what kind of client that is?
Yeah. So I when I started this, I thought, putting my own, what I'm preaching to work, I crafted my own positioning statement and I really thought long and hard about, who are the types of companies that I think I can help the most? And so I kind of landed on small to mid-sized businesses, really in any industry, maybe with the slant towards consumer packaged goods or food service, because having worked at Coca-Cola for so many years, I, obviously have some level of experience and a little bit of expertise in those arenas. So I thought small to mid-sized businesses in the CPG world or food and beverage is an area that I think I could deliver a significant amount of value. And so that's what I focused on. But also thinking about local advertising agencies who may not have the resources to deliver kind of the brand strategy element to clients. So I've spent some time working with a local ad agency as well as locally based food service companies. So I've done some work for Tropical Smoothie Cafe. I've done some work for Baker Dude's Bakery and Cafe. And a couple of other small businesses like that, thinking about businesses that understand, businesses that are sophisticated enough to understand that they need a brand strategy to inform marketing strategy, but maybe they don't have access to the resources to really help them do that. So really small to mid-sized businesses that kind of fall in those arenas.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask the question that I'm sure you have been asked, maybe 12,500 times in the last 3 months, which is branding in a pandemic. How do you brand in a pandemic, and how has branding changed in the last 3 months?
Well, so the importance of branding in a pandemic is it's perhaps even more important than it was before. It's all about, and again, it kind of starts with understanding consumers. And so what's changed in the pandemic is, as we all know, as we all have experienced, a lot of things have changed, right? And so brands are having to reconfigure how they are delivering value to consumers. And the best way to do that is to truly understand what your consumers are looking for. And so in today's world, obviously, safety becomes critically important, convenience critically important. And so when you start really understanding what your specific consumers are looking for specifically from you, then you've got to figure out, well, how can I deliver that, right? And so that's all a part of, you know, I call it in the pandemic world, it's, you know, for some companies, they're having to kind of reshape their brand strategy because they're having to figure out new ways to deliver value to their consumers. So, you know, if you're in the restaurant world, obviously, curbside pickup, delivery, touchless ordering and payment. I mean, that's all critically important to consumers. And so you've got to figure out, how do I deliver that? And then, you know, once I understand that, then I can start talking to my consumers about, well, here's how I can do it better than perhaps my competition is. Here's how I can take care of you a little bit better than our competition. So, yeah, I mean, it's wow, what a dynamic environment we're in today. And it's caused brands to take a step back and kind of rethink about, well, what is it that we truly deliver better than our competition? And what changes do we have to make in order to continue to be able to satisfy the changing demands of our consumers?
You know, you mentioned an example there, Brad, of restaurants, and that I think is a good one because, and it really gets to how do I understand where my customer is and how their values have changed, right? Because this whole business about the economy reopening, and there are some restaurants that seemingly are doing away with curbside pickup. Some of them are continue to emphasize that. And people have different views on this, right? I mean, some of them are ready to just jump right back into normal, like nothing ever happened. And some folks are not ready to go back into a restaurant. And so how do I communicate if I'm a business? How do I make sure I understand where my customers' heads are?
Well, hopefully you've got a long list of customers that you've done business with over the years, and you have a means to get in touch with them, whether it's social media or email marketing. The best place to start is to reach out to your past customers and talk to them and ask them, how are you feeling? How can we better serve you in today's dynamic space? What specifically are you looking for from us? So, you know, talking to your prior consumers, having those conversations with them, and that does a couple of things. First of all, certainly you're going to learn about what consumers are looking for because they're not going to be shy. But it also demonstrates that you actually care and you're willing to listen to them. Mm-hmm. And you've got that relationship and you're nurturing that relationship. And, you know, hopefully they give you sound advice, sound input that you can act on. And, you know, hopefully they become your loudspeaker, if you will. So they become influencers to other potential customers out there. So I always like to start with just have conversations with your with whomever you've done business with before. And go from there. You'll learn an awful lot, and again, nurture those relationships in the process.
Folks, we're speaking with Brad Taylor, and he is with Taylor Built Brands. You know, it's amazing. Just have a simple conversation, right? I mean, it's really right. It's really not that hard in a way.
And there's so many ways to do it. You know, with the simple social media post or email, or you know. If you have the information, pick up the phone and call a few of them. And again, just or invite their responses when they are using your curbside pickup service or whatever. You know, I go to the, you know, nth degree to get as much input as you can from your consumers.
Brad, we've heard the term empathy so many times I wish I had a dollar for every time I'd heard that word in the last 3 months. You know, talk about how you see empathy in branding, and is it overused, or is it, do people not get it? Do people get it? And what are maybe some good examples of folks that have used that well in a genuine way?
Yeah. When I think about empathy, I think about, you know, putting myself in my consumer's shoes, right? So what is it that they're dealing with? What is it that they're looking for? What are their needs and their wants and their wishes? So that's how I think about empathy. And again, it perhaps the word is overused, but if you really think of it the way I think about it, which is, again, putting yourself in your consumer's shoes, then it kind of goes back to what I was just talking about. It's really just understanding what they're looking for and what's going to make their lives easier. And if you can figure that out and deliver on that, then in my mind, you are being empathetic, and you know that is going to help you nurture and build those relationships. And I got to, you know, tell you that the brand that immediately comes to my mind that has done the absolute best job doing that is Chick-fil-A. You know, their operations, their drive-through service, they've got it all figured out, and they're very efficient in their process. And but that starts with them understanding what is important and what are the needs of their consumers. And so they're empathetic with the needs of their customers and their consumers and their employees. And, you know, all of that shows at the end of the day, when you go through that Chick-fil-A drive-through, when you experience that experience today, if you're like me, you just applaud them after every single visit, because it's like, wow, they have really gone out of their way to make this as easy and convenient for me and safe as possible. And so, you know, that's kind of how I think about empathy. And I think Chick-fil-A is probably a best in class in demonstrating empathy.
For sure. So, Brad, talk about, you know, beyond just the branding work that you do with customers, clients, talk about other ways that you help firms grow their businesses.
Yeah. So, you know, I also offer, you know, what I call fractional CMO services or marketing services, because, you know, sometimes I'll run into clients who, they just need a few more arms and legs to help them get through a planning period. So I recently did some work for a food service brand where they were just shorthanded, and they knew that they needed to create a well thought out marketing strategy for the next year. They just didn't have the arms and legs, the time to actually sit down and create it, because they were so busy with other things. And fortunately, they had already done a lot of the brand strategy work that I feel is so necessary. And they shared that with me. And then I kind of took that and just really built an annual marketing plan for them that, you know, understanding what their brand is all about, what they're trying to achieve, their business aspiration, their goals, conducted a SWOT analysis, so understanding their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats relative to kind of their own business, their own industry, the marketplace, taking a look at competition. So doing that SWOT analysis kind of led to, okay, based on that and our business goals, these are the marketing objectives. And then that led to specific marketing strategies and tactics. And, you know, I assembled that into, I think at the end of the day, it was maybe a 15-page document that is easy to follow, right? Mm. And just kind of pulls everything together into a plan that can be acted upon. And so I created that, turned that over to them, and now they're off in the process of implementing that. So it can be everything from kind of the upfront work on kind of articulating that brand strategy to creating, as I just shared, kind of a marketing plan to bring that brand strategy to life during a specific period of time. I could also help with sales strategy, right? And that's, you know, one of the things that I learned working at the Coca-Cola company, the importance of value-based selling. And so understanding, this is really more from a business-to-business perspective, but understanding, again, what are your customers' needs? And maybe they don't even understand how your business, product, or service could help them. And maybe they don't understand what the problem that you can help them solve is. So working with companies and business-to-business sales strategy, value-based selling, joint business planning with customers. I mean, those are all areas where I spent a significant amount of time at Coca-Cola. And as you can imagine, Coca-Cola invested a lot of money in training us to be proficient in that. So that's another area where I have and can believe I can help other businesses.
Well, you're singing my song there on that value selling, Brad. I want to ask, I'm glad you brought up B2B because, I think people, first of all, I want to make sure people out there know that you do B2B work because people see your background and think B2C automatically. Right. So I'm glad you brought it up.
That's the thing about, and a lot of people don't realize that about the Coca-Cola company. I mean, yeah, it's one of the world's biggest business to consumer brands, but all of those brands are sold by other businesses, right? So it is one of the world's largest business to business organizations as well. So yeah, it's both business to consumer and business to business.
Yeah, for sure. So you do work in that area and got a lot of expertise in B2B. So talk a little bit about B2B mistakes that you see in branding, because it seems to me, this is a question, that a lot of B2B companies don't spend the same amount of time thinking about branding that B2C businesses do.
You're right. I mean, the biggest mistake I see is businesses are focused on selling their product or service versus delivering value to their customers. Mm. Right. So you can't sell something that a business doesn't have a need for. Mm-hmm. Right. So job one in business to business is to help your potential customers understand that they have a need for your product or service. And the way to do that is to really understand their business and what they're trying to achieve so that you can then position your product or service as a great and valuable resource to them to help them achieve what they're trying to achieve. But all too often, you see companies that are just, they're advertising, here's what our product does and here's why you should buy it, without really understanding, well, what is it that they're actually trying to achieve? What are their pain points? Mm. And once you understand that, then it's, again, it kind of goes back to this idea of positioning your product or service as a valuable resource for their business. And so that's how all the training I got at the Coca-Cola company was all about. You know, we have to take our portfolio of beverages and position them as a resource and a solution set for the business problems and the goals and the objectives that our customers have. It's all about helping them build their business, not just selling what we have to sell.
Love it. From Brad Taylor. Awesome words, folks. If you weren't listening to anything that he said for the last 20 minutes, roll this back 5 minutes and just listen to that, because that's worth gold right there. Brad Taylor, he's with Taylor Built Brands. Brad, so what do you, you spend a whole lot of time thinking about other folks and their brands and whatnot. What are you up to when you're not consulting?
Yeah, so when I'm not consulting, I'm teaching. I'm in the classroom, so I've been fortunate to be on the kind of part-time faculty for both Kennesaw State and Emory University. And so each semester, I'm teaching at least one, sometimes two classes. And again, that could be a kind of a principles of marketing class, which is typically your larger classes, 60 to 100 people. And then I also teach a marketing elective class, so brand strategy and brand and product management class. So when I'm not consulting, I'm generally teaching a class or two each semester. And I find I get so much pleasure out of that, just being in the class, hopefully being back in the classroom with students. That's certainly a more fun for me than, you know, I did have to shift to online like everyone else this past semester. And we made it work, but certainly not my preference. But I love being in the classroom, love being in front of students. And love inspiring them, you know, not just teaching them the basics of marketing, but really inspiring them. And so I take great pride and pleasure in having the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, when I'm not consulting, I'm teaching. And when I'm not doing those two things, I try and find a little bit more time to play a round of golf or two here and there.
I'm curious what, this is way down a bunny trail, but you've got some thoughts that you can offer to executives that have, are thinking about retiring and would like to teach, would like to give back in that way. What advice would you give to folks like that?
Yeah. So, you know, first things first, you've got to have a master's degree at least. You know, all the colleges and universities require a master's degree in order to be in the classroom. So if you've got that, that's a really good start. You've got to have a passion for it. And you've got, just like everything else, it's about building your network, right? And so I was fortunate enough when I was still working at the Coca-Cola company, I was invited to speak to classes, and I thought, well, yeah, that could be fun. So I actually spoke to a couple of classes at Emory and then Kennesaw State. And that's when I realized, wow, I really kind of like this, and I could see myself doing this. So really about 15 years ago, I decided that could be a good kind of a career number two for me. And I actually went ahead and got my MBA while I was still working full time at the Coca-Cola company, with the sole purpose of, you know, checking that box so I could be in the classroom at some point. And then again, speaking to classes, starting to build that network. Then I got invited to sit on a board of advisors for my alma mater, which is the University of Georgia, but also at Kennesaw State, Coles College of Business. So, you know, sitting on that board, kind of advising them, that just strengthened those networks so that when it was time to retire and I was ready to move into that, I simply said, you know, I raised my hands like, hey, I'd love to be in the classroom if those opportunities ever present themselves. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough that they really immediately presented themselves. And I've been in the classroom every semester since I retired from Coke.
That's awesome. Those students know how lucky they are to have you.
Well, and I'm lucky to have them, right? you know, I think about, you know, it's important to stay relevant and young spirited. And when you're in a classroom with college students, you don't have a choice. If you want to be effective, you've got to stay relevant and young spirited. So I'm very fortunate to have them. But I think they get some benefit from my years of experience.
So do you have a TikTok account now, Brad?
Okay, well, so I haven't signed up for that yet.
Okay.
I know that I need to, but that's I guess I'm not quite bold enough to do that yet, but maybe in a few months I'll get up the nerve to do that.
I'm poking him in the ribs, folks. Old friend Brad Taylor. Yeah, well, I've got to admit, I don't have one either. So there you go. When you get one, I'll get one.
I was just going to ask you, right? Do you have one?
When you get one, I'll get one. How about that?
So okay. All right. That's fair enough.
I'll follow your lead, pal. Yeah, awesome. Brad Taylor, this has been great. Just great to have you back. Brad is with Taylor Built Brands. Brad, for those that would like more information, would like to be in touch, tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, so I've got a website out there. It's www.taylorbuiltbrands.com. When I created this consulting company and I thought, wow, Taylor Built Brands, that's got a ring to it. Obviously, with my last name being Taylor, I thought, wow, that could work. And when I saw that the URL was actually available, I jumped all over that. So TaylorBuiltBrands.com, you can find me there. And then LinkedIn, I think we were talking about LinkedIn earlier. I'm a huge, huge proponent of LinkedIn. I post on LinkedIn religiously several times a week. So look for me on LinkedIn. I always try and share content that I think is relevant and helpful. Because I get a lot of relevant and helpful content out of LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn. And then Facebook, you can find Taylor Built Brands on Facebook as well. So you can find me out there.
Awesome. Brad Taylor with Taylor Built Brands. Thanks so much for being with us.
John, thanks so much. It was great to be back.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Folks, if you've got some headaches that involve administrative tasks, you've got a desk piled high of papers and you need some help getting out of it because you need somebody to help you manage your business. You need some bookkeeping done. Maybe you need some presentations prepared. I've got an answer for you. It involves calling up Essie Escobedo at Office Angels. She's got a whole team of angels that she can pick out the right one and they'll fly in, get the job done and fly back out. They're used to working virtually, have done that since the beginning, 18 years ago. So give her a call at 770-442-9246 and explain your problem and she'll be glad to help you. And I know this for certain because I work with her myself. So with her, some of her angels. So she's terrific. Officeangels.us is her website. Just a reminder that you can find our show on all the major podcast apps. That would be Apple and Stitcher, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on all the major apps. And we're also on online, NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com. Would really appreciate it if you go on those apps, whichever one your favorite is, and rate and review us. Give us a good review. It helps us get the word out on great business leaders like Brad and the other 500 plus guests we've had on this show for the past 4 years. So we'd appreciate that if you would do that. And also, speaking of social media, connect with us there, North Fulton BRX on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We're on all three of those platforms. So for my guest, Brad Taylor, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.